Bring you greetings this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to welcome each and every one of you here this morning. And church is a little slimmer than sometimes, but that's okay. Yeah, it's good to be together again today and to come together to worship the Lord and to just be encouraged to keep on pressing on. It's been a good week. We've been having some really nice weather, very unusual, complete opposite of what we had last fall. We had rain about every 3 days, it seemed, last fall, if not oftener, and heavy rains. And yeah, we, as a farmer, and yeah, we could use a good soaker again sometime, but God is in control, and yeah, it is good to be able to get a lot of things done as well. This morning for a message, I felt led to bring the message on living in the Spirit. This message has been on my mind for quite some time. There's two different messages, this one and then one other, and Lord willing, I'll be sharing the other one next Sunday, unless the Lord directs otherwise. But I believe today we live in a day and age where a lot of people don't fully grasp what it means to live in the Spirit. We see two different ditches that we can fall into. One is having more of a law-based system with a list of do's and don'ts. And while some of that is not all bad, and some of that is based on biblical teaching or biblical principles, it does have a lot of loopholes in it that will never allow us to be free in Christ and fully live in the Spirit. The other side of the ditch says nothing matters. Do as you please. If you have accepted Christ as your Savior, don't matter what you do after that. Kind of once you're saved, you're always saved mentality. While this may sound good, we know that that has a lot of loopholes in it as well. And in the past, it has allowed people and is continuing to allow people to live in sin and feel okay about it. Another danger, and I'm not sure, I guess this could fall into any of the ditches, is the danger of individualism, where you live as the Spirit directs you, and I'll live as the Spirit directs me, and you let me alone, and I'll let you alone, and life continues on. And that's not good either, because in the New Testament, we know there's a lot of pretty much community, the church, it's the community working together, the church working together, and that type of thinking will hinder unity in the church and cause a lot of division. Not a lot of comments here in the opening, but the title of the message this morning is Living in the Spirit. If you will turn with me at this time, we'll be reading the text of Galatians 6, verses 16 through 18. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Couple short verses here, but it says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth after the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." Question to think about here as we begin the message, what does it look like to live in the Spirit? So we think about that, we'll maybe talk a little bit more about that later and maybe answer that question hopefully. But part one we want to look at is victorious living. Verse 16 is kind of short and to the point. It don't take a lot of explanation to understand it, but it says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Verse 1 here at the beginning of chapter 5 there in Galatians, it says, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." A life of victory comes from being obedient to the Holy Spirit. As we think of victorious living, we need to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. We need to be walking with the Holy Spirit. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to be our guide. I believe one of the problems we encounter today is people are not willing to try the spirits to see that they are of God. Thinking of that, back in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, it's kind of a command to us. It says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." We see that there are false prophets around, that Satan is trying to use the false prophets to trip us up, to try to tear us down, to get us to do things that are against what the Holy Spirit would direct. So how do we try the Holy Spirit? What does it mean to try the spirits, to see if they are of God? The Spirit of God will never ask us to do something that is contrary to Scripture. So if we have a spirit, or if we have a sense of something that we should be doing or wanting to do, and it's against what Scripture teaches, we know that that cannot be from the Spirit of God. We also see here in our text, thinking of some of that here in our, the verses after our text, I won't take time to read them all, but I'm sure many of us would know these there, verses 19 through 23 or 4, to the different things of the works of the flesh, and then the last verses there are the fruits of the Spirit. So there we see many different things that we could talk about of trying the spirits, if they line up with what Scripture teaches us and what is good and what is right is the fruits of the Spirit. We see many today claiming to be living in the Spirit that are doing things listed under the works of the flesh. And verse 21 tells us what will happen to those people. It says that, I tell you before, as I've told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So we see that anybody living after the flesh or following the ways of the world or doing things that are displeasing to God that professes to be a Christian cannot be a Christian and will not inherit the kingdom of God. Thinking about trying the spirits a little bit more, do they line up with Scripture? It's important for us to know Scripture. If we're going to try the spirits, if we don't read and understand the Word of God, we won't know how to try the spirits, or we won't know how to check the spirits, is maybe a good way to say it. We won't know how to check or what to check them against. But if we know and understand the Word of God, it will many times help us to make the right choices. Over and over in the New Testament, Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." If we are trying the spirits, we are studying and understanding the Word of God and not just floating here and there. You know, there's many people, there's a verse in the Bible that just came to my mind, talks about not being swayed by the winds of doctrine. You know, every new thing that comes down the pike, we're grabbing onto, and oh yeah, this must be truth, or oh yeah, that must be truth, or oh yeah, over here, this is truth now, or what we believed was truth last year isn't what we believe is truth this year. We need to be studying and understanding, and not just studying and understanding, but applying the Word of God and holding on to that which is good and that which is right and that which is truth. Verse 16 tells us that a Christian who is continually yielding to the Spirit's control will not be fulfilling the lust of the flesh. It don't say here that we won't be tempted. We'll be tempted till the day we die. I remember asking Brother Dale, and I think Brother Paul, before, if it gets any easier when you get older, and they both of them said no, and I think one of them even said, if anything, it maybe gets a little worse as far as being tempted and being tried. And so it's something that we'll never not face as long as we're here on this earth. But to be able to know what to do when we are tempted or tried by the spirits. If we know the Word of God, when we are tempted, we can turn and know what is right. You know, when Jesus was tempted by Satan, many times he quoted Scripture back to him, or he used Scripture to refute or to rebut or to turn away from the temptation that Satan tried to entice him with. And I believe that is the same for us today, that we can do that as well. You know, thinking about victorious Christian living, thinking about living by the fruits of the Spirit and not the works of the flesh, you know, just this week I was reminded, I was at a sale and there was a lady there that her grandfather would have been a fairly close neighbor of ours. I say fairly close, within a mile or two, I guess. Yeah, who is your neighbor? I read an article about that this week, and it had the story of the Good Samaritans. We often think as our neighbors as those that live close by. I'm not sure, Dale, Marianne, are you our neighbors? I guess you are. Okay, Marianne says yeah. But anyhow, if they're our neighbor, this other man's our neighbor too. But he would have been a very devout Christian man, would have stood for what was truth, would have honored God in the way he conducted business. His son would profess and still professes to be a Christian. And probably about 20 years ago, him and his wife got divorced and he got remarried. And about 10 years ago now, his first wife died. So I guess legitimately his marriage would be considered legitimate, but he would have professed to be a Christian throughout this whole time. Well, now the one I want to tell you about is his daughter. She took it to the whole next level. She had ran around with some different men when she was in her teenage years, ended up having a child to one of them. I'm not sure how long their relationship lasted, but then a few years after that, she lived with another man for probably 4 or 5 years, had 2 children to that man, and never got married to him, ended up with several men in between there, and later she finally got married. I say finally, she did end up getting married, had a child to the man she married, was only there about 2 years with that relationship, and now she left him, and they're divorced, and she's living with another man yet. And at the sale, there was another man there sitting beside me, and we were talking just a little bit about the destruction that seems to be happening in so many homes. And yeah, this whole family, the grandfather, the father, and the daughter would all profess to be Christians, would all profess to know the Lord and love the Lord. And I'm not judging, I'm not placing judgment, but it talks here about the works of the flesh or the fruits of the Spirit. And obviously somebody that is living in that frame set or that in that lifestyle, I guess you could say, does not line up with what we see in the fruits of the Spirit. And why do I say that? You know, the things that we have in our lives will have an effect on the generations to come. I'm convinced of that. The things that not only we have in our lives, but the things that we allow in our lives. Are we being victorious in our walk with God? Are we standing up for what is truth? Are we doing what is right? The level of commitment that we have in our relationship with the Lord will many times be the level of commitment that our children will have. I was just talking to Brother Mel Allgaier here recently, and he has told me this before, but he said, you know, if your children pass you up in their spiritual walk with God, he said, cheer them on. He said, if you see them coming past, it coming up behind you in your rearview mirror, in other words, painting a picture in your mind, he said, as they pass you, clap for them and send them on. In other words, be thankful and be happy. I thought of that as I made that comment, that our children, many times, the level of commitment that we have in our lives will be the level of commitment our children have. But I believe that our children can surpass where we are at in our walk with God as well. If we are committed and fully dedicated to serve the Lord, and our children see that and witness that, they will do their best to serve the Lord, I believe, many times in their lives as well. Thinking about salvation and victorious Christian living, what is salvation? Kind of the basis of salvation is Jesus died on the cross as the ultimate sacrifice for us to have a way to have a right relationship with God. He shed his blood for the remission of our sins. Or we could say for a way to us to be cleansed from our sins. There's different verses in the Bible talking about us being white as snow before God. How can we, all of us have sinned? The Bible says all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's all of us that have done things that we would regret, that we wished we wouldn't have done. But yet, when we have confessed them and have a right relationship with God, the Bible says that we are white, we are pure, we are holy before God. So through salvation, Jesus saves us from sin, Satan, self, death, and hell. And a thought came to my mind as I was preparing some of this and putting down the notes, is why are so many professing Christians wallowing around in sin and doing things that are displeasing to the Lord? Verse 16 says, if we walk, again, the verse we've been talking about, if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Are we truly allowing God, His Holy Spirit, to guide us and to lead us this morning? Are we fully keeping our trust in Him? Verse 25, here in Galatians 5 as well, it says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. In other words, if we claim to be living in the Spirit, if the Holy Spirit is directing us, let us continue to walk in the Spirit. Let our lives reveal that we are walking in the Spirit. Are we living victorious this morning? Does the world see us as living victorious? Are we being dishonest in our business? Are we telling stories that maybe aren't all untrue, but maybe aren't fully the truth? There's many things we could talk about here of what others are seeing in us. Part 2 we want to look at is the inner struggle. We see that there in verse 17. It says, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that ye would. There is an inner struggle going on inside each one of us, I believe, many times, and maybe even daily, of the flesh wanting to do as it pleases, but yet us continuing to yield the flesh to God and to Jesus and to the Holy Spirit, and allow the Holy Spirit to continue to change and to form our minds. We see the Apostle Paul speaking about some of this even in his own life that kind of sheds a little more light into some of this. Back in Romans chapter 7, I'm not going to take time to read a lot of the verses there, but the one verse that talks there in verse 19, this is the Apostle Paul writing, it says, "For the good that I would that," let me start that over, this verse is kind of a tongue twister, "For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." In other words, the good that I know I should do or know that I want to do, sometimes I don't always do that. But the evil which I would not, or the evil which I know I shouldn't do or don't want to do, that I do sometimes. In other words, the earthly nature is struggling against the new nature. But as we think about that, ultimately the battle that is raging within us is the battle that is going on from the power of God, between the power of God and the forces of Satan, the struggle of wanting dominance in our life, of who are we really serving today. And thinking about that, a couple things here too, thinking about that back in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and 11 tells us what we need to do. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." In other words, when we're facing that inner struggle, when we're having that battle going on, raging within us, it says to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. The power of his might, the Holy Spirit is directing us and guiding us and giving us the strength, and putting on the whole armor of God. Question to think about: are we going to be able to stand strong if we wait till we have the wait till we're in the midst of the battle to do what we've seen here, to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, and to put on the whole armor? No, I believe this is something that we do beforehand. This is something that we have within our lives on a daily basis that will help us whenever we have those inner battles going on. Several verses here I copied off. I'm not going to take time to read all of them, but I looked up the verses in the New Testament that have the phrase "hold fast" or the phrase "stand fast" in it. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, it says, "Prove all things, hold fast to that which is good." 2 Thessalonians 1:13, "Hold fast to the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus." Skipping down, I'm not going to read all of them, or we'll be here for quite a while, but Hebrews 10:23, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that has promised." Revelations 2:25, "But that which ye have already have, hold fast till I come." And then thinking about standing fast. Thank you, James. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men and be strong." In other words, stand fast. Don't give up when we face the struggles of life. Galatians 5:1, stand fast. That's one of the verses I read earlier there at the beginning of the chapter. "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Philippians 4:1, "Therefore, my beloved, dearly beloved, long for him, my joy and crown, stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." One more here yet, 2 Thessalonians 2:15, "Therefore, my brethren, stand fast and hold your traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or epistle." So we see, you know, it is important for us to know and understand the Word of God. It is important for us to hold on to that which is good and right. It says to stand fast. You know, were you ever in a windstorm? Maybe, we've never had a high winds from a hurricane in this area. We've had some windy weather, but maybe you were in an area where they had high winds, or maybe some time where it's really, really windy. I remember a couple of years ago here, the one spring, we had some gusts that reached like 60 or 65 mile an hour. And you were outside, and one of them gusts came along. It was all you could do. You almost had to bow into the wind to keep on going. And that's kind of the picture I get here. You know, when we're faced with that inner struggle, when things happen that we don't understand when we're almost something catches us and almost sweeps us off of our feet, to stand fast, to lean in, don't give up, but to lean in and continue to rely on God and His Holy Spirit. We cannot use our willpower to overcome the flesh. The only way for us to have victory is for us to allow the Holy Spirit to control our life and our walk and to continually be our guide. Did you ever take a chainsaw and not start it up and try to cut a tree down? I don't think any of us here would be quite that, I kind of use the word dumb, but you wouldn't get very far. But it's the same analogy if you try to live victorious without the Holy Spirit as our power and our guide. It's almost impossible to be able to do that. We need the Holy Spirit, just the same as that engine runs the chainsaw that turns the chain that cuts the tree down. The Holy Spirit is the one that gives us the strength and the courage to continue to press on in the midst of the difficulties and troubles and trials and temptations of life. Part 3, we want to look at is spiritual freedom. Verse 18 there in our text says, "But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." This verse brings out the fact that we are no longer under the law, but that we are being led by the Spirit. A question for each one of us to think about. The last section we looked at is the salvation that we are basing our faith on, that the Holy Spirit helps guide us in. Is your life surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and are you being obedient to the Holy Spirit? A couple verses here thinking about some of this back in Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 25. It says, "And he said unto them, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." How many of us got up this morning and said, "I'm going to deny myself today and take up my cross"? You know, we maybe don't say them words as such, but yet we pray and ask God to lead us, to direct us. We pray that God will help us to be obedient to him. Then going on, verse 24, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it." If we try to do things on our own or save our own life, we will lose it. "But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall be saved." Well, we didn't lose our life. We're still here. We're still breathing. So it's talking about losing our fleshly desires, losing our old life, losing the things of the past. Verse 25, "For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself and to be cast away?" Some very good things to think about is thinking about surrendering to the Lordship and allowing Him to change us and to mold us and to be our guide for life. A godly life is not lived by following the rules of the law, or we often say by the letter of the law, but rather is an obedient life lived in a relationship with the Spirit of God. We cannot be justified by our own works. Jesus must save us. Or in other words, we have to accept Jesus as our Savior to be justified. We cannot achieve sanctification on our own either. The Holy Spirit must sanctify us through the reading and obeying the Word of God and living a life of truth. We need to continue to submit ourselves and be obedient to the direction of the Holy Spirit and let the Spirit have control of our life. I believe if we are being led by the Spirit in our daily lives and our Christian lives, He will give us the desire, and not only the desire, the willpower that we need to be obedient to the will of God. All through the New Testament, I referred to this maybe earlier, but Jesus says, if you love, makes comments similar to this or statements similar to this, if you love me, keep my commandments, or if you love me, you will obey me and do my will. Galatians 2, verse 20 brings out some of this. It says, and this is the Apostle Paul speaking here again, but it says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." In other words, he is crucified. He is dead, died to self. He is given up his old fleshly desires, and the life he is now living is what Christ is living in him and through him and gave him to have. dead to self and alive unto Christ. Many today, I don't believe, don't fully grasp the real concept of freedom in Christ and being led by the Spirit. They want to dwell on the freedom part, where we are free to do as you want. Oh, I love Jesus and Jesus loves me. But when it comes to the part of being obedient to the Word of God and being led by the Spirit, many today were like, whoa, wait a minute here. That sounds too much like legalism or judgmental. But I believe this morning, if we are truly being led by the Spirit, our love for God will compel us to obedience. You know, if we truly love God, it should compel us to want to and to have the desire, not only want to and have the desire, but to continue to surrender to the Holy Spirit's leading in our lives. 1 John 5, verses 1 and 2. By this we know that we love the children of men when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous or burdensome, I think the New King James uses. So that's something for us to think about. Do we really, truly want to be obedient to God? Do we want to follow His commands? Or do they seem grievous or burdensome to us? Some today say that the Ten Commandments are irrelevant for us. But that, I believe, is false teaching, because the Ten Commandments are the moral code for the Christian life. They reveal to us the nature and character of God. Where the difference comes in is when some try to use the Ten Commandments for right living without a relationship with Jesus. If we try to live right without a relationship with Jesus, we are still living by the law. But if we have a relationship with Jesus and we want to do right, because that is the character and nature of God, and we are being led by the Spirit, it makes all the difference in the world. 2 John chapter 1, verse 6, it says, "And this is the love, that we walk after His commandments, and this is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, that ye should walk in it." A couple more verses. In John 14, verse 21 and then verse 23, "And he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." And this is Jesus speaking. It's red letters. It's Jesus' own words. "And if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and I will come unto him and will make an abode with him." So here we see Jesus making the case that if we love God, if we are really serving the Lord, if we have given our hearts to the Lord and the Holy Spirit is really directing us, we will have a love for to do what is good and what is right. I think I maybe said a little bit about this earlier, but thinking about that verse again of trying the spirits. The Spirit of God will never ask us or allow us to go against the word, the written word of God and His commands. In other words, if there's anything that we sense that the Spirit is trying to get us to do, or trying to get us to do, that don't sound right, trying to allow us to do or asking us to do, and it goes against what we know Scripture is teaching, we know that that cannot be good and that cannot be the right way. Galatians 5, verse 25, that verse again, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." This involves surrendering ourselves and yielding ourselves to the will and the power of the Holy Spirit, allowing Him to lead us and to guide us and to accomplish His purpose through us. You know, sometimes I think we think too hard on some of this. In other words, this whole thought of freedom in Christ, freedom being led by the Holy Spirit, you know, it's a daily continue to surrender. It's a daily continuing to give of ourselves to the Lord. There was a little story, maybe kind of helps bring out this point a little bit. I read it earlier this week in my studies. It's called Back to the Basics. In 1994, Winter Olympics were held in Norway. 23-year-old Tommy Moe of the United States won a gold medal in the men's downhill skiing. It was a beautiful, controlled run. Someone commented on which he had held the tucks and to thrust his hands forward in perfect form at places where others had stood up and flailed their arms. After his victory, Tommy was asked to explain his thought process. He said, "I keep it simple, and I focus on skiing, not on winning, not on where I'd place, but rather what I'm doing at this moment and where it's going to take me. I continue to remember to breathe and just keep going." The winner of the gold medal in the Olympics had to remember the most basic of the basics, to keep breathing and keep it simple. And this is what the writer had. It kind of ties in with what we're looking at today. Likewise, as we seek to have a strong walk with God, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know where we win or lose. Those being led by the Spirit breathe the exhilarating and invigorating air of moral and spiritual freedom. We are no longer under the law of bondage. We live in the presence of God and are obedient to Him with gladness of heart. Spiritual victory depends on the basics. We need to make sure that we are continuing to be led by the Spirit of God. Do we really have a desire to do what's right this morning? Do we really have our heart intent on being obedient to God? And yes, we talked there earlier about that inner battle. That's something that is going on and will continue to go on until we die. I believe that. It's just the way it is. We wish sometimes it wouldn't be that way, but then other times I wonder if we could continue to keep our faith and trust in the Lord like we need to if it wasn't that way. You think about it. If life was always easy, if we had everything we always wanted, if we, us farmers, had all the rain at the right time every time we needed it, or builders had all the dry spells at all the times they wanted it, or whatever your job is, whatever your occupation is, if everything was perfect, if everything was easy, we never had any aches and pains, we never got sick, would we really have anything to trust in? We would eventually lose our faith and trust in the Lord. And this, many things we go through, it keeps us humble, it keeps us recognizing our reliance on the Lord, it keeps us understanding that He is in control and we are His people, and He is the one that is the one leading us and guiding us. The beginning of verse 16 there gives us what we need to be faithful, to continue to walk in the Spirit. How can we win the battle between the flesh and the Spirit? I believe it's by continuing to surrender and submit to God and draw on Him for strength. We need to recognize and to admit that we are powerless to win without our continuous surrender to God. You know, sometimes people get proud and arrogant, and sometimes you wonder why God isn't doing something about it. But I believe ultimately, even if not on this life, they will be humbled at one day when they meet Jesus. The closer we walk with God, the stronger our spiritual life will be. In closing here, there was a quote that I found, and I couldn't word it better myself, so I'm just going to read it. It's a couple sentences. It says, "Being led by the Holy Spirit involves a desire to hear, the readiness to obey God's word, and a sensitivity to discern between your feelings and His promptings. Live each day controlled and guided by the Holy Spirit. Then the words of Christ will be in your mind, the love of Christ will be behind your actions, and the power of Christ will help you control your selfish desires." Are we truly being led by the Spirit this morning? Does our lives line up with what God wants us to be? Are we allowing the flesh to crop up in any way, whether in our attitude or actions, the things we do, the places we go, the things we read, the places, what we watch, the things we listen to? There's many things you could think about here. Are we truly allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us as we go through life? May God help us to continue to surrender to Him and continue to be our guide as we go through life. And ultimately the goal is that when we get to heaven someday, that we would hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into heaven and eternal bliss." And that is the ultimate goal. The other goal I trust that each one of us have, and as many of us here have children, all of them have to make their own choices, but our prayer would be this morning that each of our children would make the right choices as well, and that each of our children would someday be in heaven with us, and generation to generation. You know, it's a beautiful thing when you see generation after generation, following the Lord, doing what's right, dedicated to serve the Lord. And that don't mean that everybody will always make the right choices, but I believe the choices that we make on a daily basis will many times have an effect on a lot of the choices that they make as well. With those thoughts in mind, let us kneel for prayer.